you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ, and I am your guest host, Clayton Wood, and I am here with my dear friend, Seth Hauser, who is the director of Camp Arrowwood at Ware's Valley Ranch, a wonderful camp. I was not a camper there. It did not exist when I was camper age, but I worked there for years as counselor and have been absolutely thrilled for Seth to lead that and have sent my children there. They've benefited greatly. And he continues to do a great job in that role. And today we're going to talk not just about the summer camp. We're going to talk about some things Seth's noticing about children and what they're going through right now. And we're going to talk about some new opportunities that he's had at the ranch to help families through doing retreats and a homeschool academy. So I hope you'll enjoy this conversation about what God's doing at Ware's Valley Ranch through the ministries of Camp Arrowwood. Seth, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here with you again, brother.
So through the years, Ware's Valley Ranch is a Christian home and school for kids from difficult home situations. And we are primarily about helping those kids with a year-round school and a residential program where they live, where they receive counseling, individualized education, and they can be healed from their past and inspired and equipped for a future in serving Christ. But in fact, over the last 20 years, more children have been impacted through the ministry of the summer camp than through the overall program, because the capacity for campers is so much higher. Talk about some of what you've seen God do in your ministry with our summer camp.
That's great. Thanks. Yeah, so a big part when people come on our campus for the children's home, they say, you know, how many kids live at the ranch? And we say, you know, about 30. Tell them about like why it's 30 by design. They think, man, like, you know, what else are you doing? And so a lot of people don't even know that we do have a camp that ministers and has ministered to literally like thousands and thousands over the years. And so the same way that there are students who live here on our campus year round who, we are trying to grow to know the Lord and love the Lord and to develop characteristics where they can thrive in life. Our camp serves families who are healthy and whose kids, we serve parents who, man, they're worried about their kids' future. And there's a lot of parents that we've seen over the past 20 years who parents are overwhelmed and their kids are overscheduled and their kids are on screens too much. And so what is a place where they can send their kids to grow in resiliency and to grow in their relationship with Jesus and to learn some independence and to prepare them best for the future? And if you want your kids to be tough, probably them sleeping in their bedroom for their whole life is not where they're going to learn how to do hard things and do things that make them tough and not anxious. So we're a place where parents can send their kids for a week or a weekend, and we help prepare them for the future.
So that weekend opportunity is something new. That didn't exist 5 years ago, but talk about what that looks like. I know that there's been some important guided conversations that can really see breakthroughs from just a weekend at a time.
Right. You know, it's rare to have a family meal right now. In fact, for summer camp, we actually train our staff on how to have conversations with kids around mealtime because it's so foreign to them. And so for father-son weekend and for mother-daughter events that we do, we have incredibly thoughtful and structured conversations where a father and a son are going to go walk in the woods for 10, 15, 20 minutes and kind of talk through our conversation guide. Because, I mean, if you're like me and maybe you as well, Clayton, it's like, man, it's easy to talk to your kids about what video games they play and what they like on YouTube and the Tennessee Vols and things like that. But when it comes to, you know, man, what's it look like to be a man? What's it look like to provide for your family? What's it look like to walk in purity? What's it look like to be a good friend and to grow in all those abilities? Parents a lot of times are like, I need to have these conversations, but I'm not quite sure how to do that. And so we have frameworks and guides that we give fathers and sons. So they're walking. There's no screens, no internet. They're just walking with their children in the woods and having these conversations. And we've seen our father-son camp almost double in attendance every year. And this will be our third year. And I believe we're on a waiting list now because we want parents to grow. We want boys to grow. We want girls to grow. And you got to get them away from screens and busyness to focus on the Lord and their relationships. And that's what we've seen here at Arrowwood.
I think it's also, I attended the father-son events, and I think it's also really neat to have those conversations with friends. So you're having conversations about things that matter for eternity. You're doing it in a context where maybe you feel like you just nailed this part and you're happy to explain, you know, what you knew to share. But there's other parts where like, does anybody got any thoughts on this? This one's hard for me. And it comes up because everyone who's there with you is someone who loves Jesus and who wants to do a great job shepherding their child. And so you're able to come alongside brothers and encourage them and share what's working, share what's a challenge, and really develop, even in a brief time, a strengthening of the community that you bring with you. If you and two friends come from your town, but also meeting new people who can come alongside you in that journey.
Yeah, there's a father. There's two fathers who live a couple hundred miles away, and now they get together a couple times a month because they met here just to talk about, man, the important things in life, about like, man, how are you doing as a dad? Like, how are you doing as a husband? Are you having those conversations that you talked about having at father-son camp? It's not, you know, sometimes dads can get together and just talk about, oh man, I'm terrible at this. Yeah, me too, right? And that's not what we see, right? Like, we want to grow. I mean, what our kids believe about Jesus will probably be the way that we act towards them. Like, what they believe about their father is probably a lot of it's shaped by the way that they view their actual dad. And so, man, how can we grow in that? How can we have, sometimes it just takes a couple seconds of courage to ask your son a question that you know you're supposed to ask, but man, I'm just going to ask about the Vols because that's a lot easier.
Absolutely. When we think about conversations with eternal weight, I think we can also, sometimes we can let our desire for perfection just paralyze us. We can have, you know, analysis paralysis where it's like, wait a minute, this is a really weighty conversation. So I don't want this to be screwed up. So I better do it perfectly. And especially in an age where a lot of men don't have the father that they want to be, you can't get what you don't have. And so I also think it's a great time for people to be equipped where it's like, you know, I never had the conversation when I was 12, when I was 13 with my dad the way that I wanted to. So is there a way that I can have help with that? Is there a way I can have guidance with that? Is there a way I can have assistance with that? And I think that you've created a great framework to do that. So the moms and daughters event was a new event. How did that go?
Yeah, sweet, great feedback about that. Parents are so overscheduled, and it's just, I'm taking you to this practice, I'm taking you this game. And so, man, what a great time. We had about 40 moms and daughters come out for a tea event. And again, we had like an intentional time of, we had three generations. So we had a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter kind of share about, man, here's what it looks like to follow the Lord. This was a challenge in this stage of life for me. Here's advice I would give to you as a mom. Here's advice I would give to you as a little girl. And then we also had a time where they got to walk around our campus and again, have those conversations just about being a good friend, growing in the relationship between mother and daughter. And then also, man, what's it like for us to grow as women in the Lord? And Clayton, I guess one thing for the listeners I would say is I have three kids, and probably of all of them, these conversations happen a lot better, what we call like side-by-side conversations. So like we're out, we're walking, we're doing something, we're throwing the frisbee. Those are side by side conversations. If I tell my kids, hey, come sit across from the table and sit in a chair and we're gonna have this conversation, then man, like it's not gonna be quite as successful. Like if our bodies are moving and doing, we're gonna have a lot more honest conversations versus like just the heaviness of like, let's come sit face to face and look each other in the eye. There's times for that, but a lot of our experiences here are just kind of side by side conversations that are guided to point you to the Lord.
That's great. Another element of all of that that I think about relationally a lot is just, this is also structured for people to have fun with their kids and to be able to encourage their kids a lot. You and I both benefited from Camp Windshape and from the Windshape program and Sweet Truett Kathy, who said, how can you tell if somebody needs encouragement? Because they're breathing.
That's right. That's right.
That's a pretty good Truett Kathy, wasn't it? Was that all right?
That was right on. That was right on.
So we want to set up times as parents to encourage our kids. And especially if the time that you feel like you're using your child's full name, including middle name, and having them sit down so that they can have a talking to, it's going to fall on deaf ears. Your child needs to be hearing a lot more often from you in a time that you're encouraging them, that you're telling them you're proud of them, that you're noticing the good things that God's doing in their life, than to have you sit down and straighten them out because you've let your criticisms build up until you just can't take it anymore and you need to let them know what's wrong.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm going to give a piece of advice to our listeners, and I want them to practice this in the conversations they have, is we talk a lot about at Arrowood, like every good question starts with how or what. And so, I talked to my friend about this once. His daughter visited a youth group for the first time, and he was going to say to her, you know, did you have fun? And if you ever ask a kid, did you have fun? They're probably going to say, nah, not really, or something, you know, something like that, right? But if you use how or what, right? Like, and you're like, hey, what was fun about youth group? Hey, who was somebody that you met today? Like those questions are great. Just don't ask binary questions to kids because you're always going to get terrible answers, right? If you ask your kids, hey, do you have any questions more about what we're talking about? They're probably going to say no. If you say, hey, Clayton, like, what are some other questions you have about what we're talking about? Then that's going to kind of empower them to ask you a follow-up question. So it sounds really small, but if you can even, I don't ask why questions, right? Hey, why'd you do that? Instead, it's more of like, hey, tell me like kind of what you were thinking when you decided to do that. It's going to be, you're going to get a lot more better responses. And so even with fathers, with moms, we kind of talk about, man, hows and whats are so much more powerful than do's, dids, and wills.
That's good. That's good. It's a beautiful setting to be able to have those conversations with kids, but you're also trying to set the table to create conversations. Say you only come one weekend a year, you're really hoping that in the trajectory of their relationship, those important conversations are opening doors for a lot more important conversations after they leave. And we've seen God do that already. We're praying that God will continue to do that. And we're really grateful for the impact that that's having. Talk a little bit about the Homeschool Academy and the element that we're able to offer with that for families who live in our immediate area of East Tennessee.
So we have Arrowood Adventure Academy, and so we are able to serve about 90 to 100 families in the spring and then 90 to 100 families in the fall. And so parents who are homeschooled are doing incredible work educating their kids. And one thing where we saw that we could kind of help them out is by, providing a place for kids to go and connect with other families and to get out of the house and away from screens and experience outdoors and transformation. And so we have our Arrowood Academy is a program that meets 6 Wednesdays or 6 Thursdays in the spring and then also in the fall. And we take the kids from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And it's so fun. We just had our first one this past week. And so kids come in, and the kids who've been here year after year come in. They're looking around for their buddies that they've made. So they make friends. And then there's some new ones who came. And I talked to a mom yesterday, and she said, he is so excited to be here today. And I'll be honest, I'm probably more excited than he is because we bump heads about every single day. And so I'm just going to go down to the coffee. I'm just going to go down the coffee shop, and he's going to be with you all, and he can run. And so we teach him a bullseye truth of the day. So we're going to teach him a truth about God, and then we're going to launch them out with their buddies to fish and to try try new things on our ropes course and archery and riflery and all sorts of outdoor activities, just to get kids outside, get them moving, and provide experiences that they can't really get at their home, no matter what they do. And so it's been, we have people drive mainly from Knoxville, which is about an hour from Ware's Valley Ranch in Camp Arrowwood, but there's one family who drives from Greenville, South Carolina, to come to our Arrowwood homeschool days. So they're spending about 3 hours in the car to get here. But we're thankful for the way God has grown that program, and we've had just tremendous feedback from parents.
That's awesome. We have the camp, and it is so successful that this is not a commercial for camp in any way, because camp is full with a waiting list, and that happens again and again. But in terms of things that you... Imagine that I'm a parent and I'm listening and I'm going, man, I live in Colorado. My kid cannot get to the ranch. There's two different things that are happening around these conversations with our radio program. One, I want to thank listeners whose support of the ranch make it possible for us to have the facilities to do this. We want to be great stewards of what God is doing. And we are not offering a bunch of wealthy families a free summer camp with your donations. The camp is one of the only parts of the ranch that actually helps the ranch. People are paying for camp, and that is actually a blessing to the ranch. But the facilities we have at the ranch year-round, the facilities that we use for the children that Seth uses with his recreation that he leads year-round in the school, that helps kids grow, that helps kids learn, all of that is made possible because of donors. But the second part of that I really want to highlight is the impact that those donors are having on kids who they never really even knew maybe they were helping.
Sure.
So as we think about that, Seth, if you're a parent in Colorado, what should we be thanking them for? Wait, what did you say? I'm messing it up already. I'm not supposed to do a binary. What am I supposed to do? How should we be thanking the parents in Colorado?
That's good.
And then how should we be telling them that they can impact their kids through some of the lessons we're learning?
Yeah. One, we serve, you know, it doesn't matter what socioeconomic status you come from. Sin is prevalent. Family dysfunction is prevalent in all backgrounds. And so even this past summer, I mean, there were kids who came on full scholarship to summer camp, and there was a boy who arrived, and his mom told me on the day he got here, she said, I didn't know what to do. We found out that my husband, so-and-so's father, was having an affair, and last night is when we discovered this, and I know that he's a wreck, and I didn't know what to do, but I just thought we're just going to go ahead and bring him to summer camp because I think this will be good for him. And I thought, man, like, this is... Praise the Lord that he's still able to come to camp. And yeah, so camp is a time where kids get away from screens, right? The average child is on screens for about 30 hours at school and then 30 hours outside of school, and they have religious activity for about 45 minutes. So take 30 hours of screens at school, 30 hours outside, 60 hours of screens a week. It's hard to believe, but it's true. 45 minutes of religious activity. So you bring a kid like that to summer camp, you get them away from all their screens, and they just get so many people who love Jesus talking to them, ministering to them, praying for them over and over again on our feedback forms. When we hear from kids like, hey, what made you feel special at camp? They'll say, the staff knew my name and asked me how I was doing. And so to the parents, to the people who are giving to us in Colorado and all over the place, one, thank you for providing a place where we can heal kids and send them back. You're the awesome week at camp. Go home. You'll be awesome. It's like, hey, I hope here at camp you learn that, like, God loves you and God is equipping you to do hard things in life and to trust him even when it's hard. And now we send the kid home. But my other piece of advice for parents is, man, if you want your kids to grow up in life and be able to do hard things, then provide experiences for them when they're younger, when they're doing hard things. So go on a family camping trip and put away your phone. Give them tasks that they can do and accomplish that are hard, and that will kind of equip them to develop some resiliency. It's like, hey, every parent, what do you want for your kids? Man, I want them to love Jesus and to be resilient and to be able to do hard things in life. Well, you can't go 0 to 100. So find opportunities for them to do that as they're growing up.
I love that. And I'll say as a parent that it is quite obvious to me that it's important for my kids to be forced to do things they don't want to do that later they're glad they did. Hiking is an example of that. We had a sweet vacation. Some folks let us stay at a place for free out west, and we were out there enjoying it. I wanted to do maybe 5 days of hiking.
Yes.
My kids wanted to do maybe one day of hiking. I guess we ended up somewhere around 3 days of hiking, but the complaints grew less over time. And now looking back on it, the kids are delighted that they did those things. You know, during the climb, did they want to do it? A few times when we made it to an alpine lake, did they say that maybe it wasn't worth the view that I was marveling at? All that is a part of the process. But learning that nothing in life comes without some level of commitment and grit and suffering, and that the most important things all require investment. They all, right. All the best things in life require hard work. And so it's a really sweet thing. I'm not saying everyone needs to go camping. There's people who are listening to this who are saying, I despise camping. That's fine. But you should find ways away from screens to connect with your kids, doing things that you love and doing things that they will grow to love. But that's another element of it. I mean, you know, we both play tennis. It's been a while. I think maybe with my knee coming back, I might be able to get you. I'm not sure. But you and I play tennis. When we first started playing tennis, it wasn't fun to play tennis.
Right.
We stunk. It was fun. Remember we used to play the baseball game where you tried to hit a tennis ball outside of the fence.
Sure.
And we had to go chase it down and bring it back. Okay, well, that's not tennis.
Right.
But it was fun for us because it was at least something that we were winning in.
Right.
Because hitting the ball really hard felt good. But over time, having discipline and doing something that wasn't fun, practice, footwork, your backhand, all that led to something great. And again, sports, life, hiking, these are the kind of lessons that we want kids to have. But the other element of that goes back to something that I see you do so well is when you say overscheduled, overstructured, it shouldn't all be serious, committed. I mean, I would almost say, I love sports and I think sports are healthy and good in a lot of ways, but sports idolatry has ruined sports for a lot of kids. And we see that with young people today with camp. If you were putting pressure on your 13-year-old to try to make it to the select thus and such team, it is unlikely that your child's going to play college sports on a scholarship. And they can still learn really healthy lessons, but you don't want them to learn the lesson that mom and dad only loved me when I performed at my best in a sport.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's when your kids leave the sports field, right? Or leave, maybe they're coming home from a concert or you know, whatever they're participating in, music, art, sports. Like if your first question is like, hey, did you score? Did you win? Then, you know, to that child, you're basically saying, hey, look, I value you the most based on whether or not you won or you lost, right? Versus there's so many other great questions you can ask. So one of the best parts about summer camp is that we want kids to learn how to win, right? We want to teach kids how to be successful and how to handle winning and success. We also want to teach kids how to lose and how to fail and how to have conflict. And parents are so quick to swoop in and rescue and to fix every conversation and tell them that they're the best when, hey, you didn't get up that climbing wall. Well, you're still the best climber that I know. It's like, well, you're actually not the best climber, you know. But, hey, guess I'm really glad you tried that wall. And that was really hard. And guess what? I love you just as much as if you made it to the top or you didn't. And that's what the staff will tell them here. And or maybe it's like, hey, I want to come down. I'm scared. I want to come down. I'm scared. Hey, that's great. Hey, tell you what, why don't you just take a break? I'm going to hold you tight on the belay rope. Then try to go maybe one step higher, and then I'll let you down. Okay, good, good. So, yeah, want parents to be able to help their kids learn how to lose and learn how to win, and we do that here at camp. And, again, I am so thankful for all of our supporters for the ranch. So, yeah, the 30 kids who live here, the 500 volunteers who come on our campus, and probably – the 600 or 700 kids who are here for summer camps and homeschool academies, we're just so thankful for everyone who loves and supports and prays for us here at WVR and Camp Arrowwood.
And if someone is listening right now and they're saying, Seth, it sounds like you're doing the most amazing stuff. I want to give money to help it. Then you want them to go to what website, what beautiful, wonderful website did you get where they can connect, where they can see what's happening, and where they can give if they feel the Lord leading them to help you?
The website is thebestcamp.com. And that probably breaks like a lot of like branding, messaging about don't be arrogant. And here, our name is Camp Arrowwood. It's beautiful. It comes from Psalm 127:4. Your children are arrows. Want to launch them towards Jesus. The problem is no one could spell Camp Arrowwood, so we have thebestcamp.com. So come visit us at thebestcamp.com. We're happy to help you. We're happy to send you devotionals we've written. Anything we can do to help, we're happy to help you.
Thank you so much, Seth. Guys, it's a huge blessing to get to see what God's doing with happy, smiling kids running around the ranch all year round. When the students of the ranch are here, when the students are on break, these facilities are being used for the glory of God, and we're so thankful that we can do that. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.